Good morning. Are you awake this morning? Would you stand with me as we read? We're going to have a really good time today. So tomorrow's not my favorite holiday per se, Halloween, but we're going to enter into a really fun topic today. A mysterious topic. Are you ready for a little mystery? Jesus said these words in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. So we're going to just swim in this text today. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate Pool, which is in Aramaic called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, and he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and you haven't done this in 38 years, but walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Later on in John chapter 5, Jesus is talking with the religious leaders about what he had done. And in John 5, 31 through 36, "If I testify about myself," Jesus says, "my testimony is not true. But there's another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. And you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light." He says, "But I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I'm doing, testify that the Father has sent me." What does these mean? Father, we come before you this morning. Good morning, Father. Oh, what a beautiful day you've made. We rejoice in this day. We are glad in this day. Lord, we thank you, God, for this amazing planet that we get to live on. Thank you, God, for our physical life and our abundant life, the spiritual life we have in Christ. We're grateful for life today. And Lord, we choose to leave our homes to come to this house of worship this morning. Why? To worship you in spirit, to worship you in truth. We come, Lord, to learn. And we pray, Lord God, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that we would understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that we would understand the mysteries that you've revealed to us in your scriptures. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives today and help us, Lord. We pray this would happen here in your holy name and for your glory. And all those who love Jesus would say,
amen.
Amen. And y'all may be seated. And so how many people was here last Sunday? Pretty awesome Sunday, right? So our brother Sonny gave a pretty great message last Sunday. Wouldn't you agree? So Sonny's coming up here with me. And as he's coming up, can we give him a round of applause for the amazing work that he does? So Sonny's going to come up, and I've asked him to do two things. One, he's going to give you an update about some things that happened last week at our missions conference, which was amazing. And then I've asked him to share with you a story that he experienced when he's on the mission field. Okay? Good morning, brother.
Morning, church. What a Sunday it was, right? Last Sunday. And I can't believe that we're already on the next Sunday, right? It went by really fast. So thank you for all who have been here last Sunday. And I just want to give a quick testimony. You know, Pastor Moses' wife was here, and I shared in my message that every year she has to raise a certain amount of money to pay for the rent for her church. So she needed about $5,000 more for this year to pay for her rent, and someone from this church graciously came forward and wrote that check for her. And not only that, we raised a total of $7,450 for her So she has surplus money that she can use to pay the advance for next year's rent.
Wow.
So thanks to everyone and thanks to God for this amazing blessing that He has given. I wanted to share this testimony last week during my message, but Pastor Frank said let's do it for this week as it is more appropriate for the message he's going to be sharing today. So in the year 2012, exactly 10 years ago, me and my wife Meg, unfortunately she's unable to be here because she was called to work at the last minute this morning. So in 2012 December, right after Christmas, we decided to go to India just for like a vacation actually. It's been a while that we haven't been there. So right after Christmas, we flew to India and Pastor Moses invited us to come and be a part of his mission field. So his mission field is in the southern part of India where it's high up in the mountains where there are tribals. There's no road access. They live in primitive conditions. There's no proper medical or hospital services over there. And it takes hours to reach those places because we have to walk by on our feet to reach those villages. So as you heard, if you have met his wife Annie Moses last Sunday, they are supporting 30 tribal pastors in that area. And these villages are kind of scattered in the hills, far off. And these churches are just small huts with about 30 to 40 people at the max. So they have these tribal pastors that he has established over there, train them send them through theological colleges and have them ordained as pastors, and now they are running these small churches. So this was the first mission trip, me and Mega and the pastor, and a helper boy was with us in a vehicle that we were traveling from one place to another place. On this particular day, I don't remember the exact date it was, this one tribal pastor, his wife was full-blown pregnant. I mean, she was ready to give birth any time. And this pastor was, as Pastor Moses was telling me, has been trying for almost 5 years to have children. And it was not happening. And finally, she was pregnant, and she was ready to deliver, but she was high up in the mountains with no medical or services or any hospitals nearby. So he calls us while we were driving from one village to the other. He says, Pastor, what do I need to do right now? I don't have a way for her to go to the hospital, and she's almost ready to give birth. Mega, being a nurse, she was kind of guiding him, saying that, hey, you need to do this and that. And they waited for the ambulance to come to pick her up, but the ambulance said, I can't come all the way up over there because of the road conditions. She needs to walk down the mountain. So she is full blown. She's ready to give birth anytime. She walks almost like 10 miles down the mountain on her feet, and then she reaches to the nearest town where they could pick her up from there to take her to the hospital. So all this is happening. We are on the phone talking to her, but we were so far inside in the mountain range, it wasn't possible for us to come back that fast to come and help them. But on our way back, while we were driving back, and at one church, we were just praising and worshiping the small hut with the villagers. The father of the husband of that lady calls, who's also a pastor. He calls us and he says, "We are going right now to the hospital. Please pray for us." So we let the congregation know of that village that, hey, there's a village pastor from another village whose wife is pregnant. She's going to the hospital. Let's pray for her. And everyone started praying and praising God for all his blessings on them and everything. And then after 30 minutes, we get a call from the husband saying that we reached the hospital. They delivered the baby. The baby was not coming out. They had to do a suction to pull the baby out, and the baby came out dead. The baby was blue, there was no life, and the doctor, being husband and the wife being coming from a lower caste, and if you know about India and the caste system, they are from the lowest of the lowest caste, so no one would come forward to help them. The doctor, the lady doctor, I'm sorry to say, said, the baby is dead, take the baby and get out from here. I don't want you to stay here. If you don't move, we're going to throw the baby in the bin. The father didn't know. He called us. We were on our way to the hospital. He said, Pastor, my child died. I don't know what to do. For that moment, when he said that and he hung up the phone, we were driving. All this while, all four of us, me, Megan, and the pastor and the boy, when we were driving from village to village, we were singing songs, worship songs and all that stuff, but we heard that voice, that voice of the father who lost his son. You can show that's the father, that's the pastor. I forgot his name, I'm sorry. When we heard his voice, the cry on the phone, it was heartbreaking. So there was pin drop silence in our vehicle, and we didn't talk to each other. I didn't talk to Megan, Megan didn't talk to me, I didn't talk to the pastor or anyone. We had a silent prayer within our heart, and that was a prayer, it was just a 2-second prayer, I would say. Father, if you're really there, save this boy. And then we drove straight to the hospital. It took us like maybe 20, 25 minutes to reach there. And as soon as we reached there, we went into the room, and we saw the father, and we saw the baby over there, and the mother, and the baby was moving. And I talked to him and I said, what happened? He said, after he hung up the phone with us, he took the baby and he was crying. As his teardrops fell on the baby woke up. And that's the baby. So he's a miracle child. They named him Samuel. In 2007, I went back over there. I couldn't meet the boy. He was in a different village at that time, but I met his dad, and he showed me his picture on his phone, so I took that picture. The miracle doesn't end over there. After we came back from India, 3 weeks later, Megha said she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So the story is that his story and our story was similar. We were also trying for a while, and it was not happening. But God gave us Rina as a miracle.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can we all say that together? 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Sonny. How do you explain the supernatural? How do you explain the supernatural? So, we could spend the rest of the day talking about the supernatural. I had a friend of mine, you guys remember Michelle Anthony. She was our children's music director here back in the 90s. Dr. Anthony was a professor at Talbot. Michelle went on a missions trip to Haiti. And at the end of her missions trip, she was going through villages, through huts in a very poor area of Haiti, and praying with people as they were leaving. And there was a man that was blind. And Michelle, the group was going from hut to hut and prayed over the blind man. And it's been so good to be with you all. And she was going from hut to hut to hut to hut. And she's about 2 huts down, and the man came out seeing. How do you explain the supernatural in our faith? For most of you, if you've been here a while, you know that a great miracle happened. My brother accepted Christ last year after a few years. And he told me, my mom died when I was 9. And I never really knew my mom very well, but Kenny ends up giving me my mom's testimony. I had no idea my mom had a testimony about her faith and her walk with Jesus. And as he gave that to me, I was amazing. And I'm so enjoying my relationship with my brother now, as he's now a true brother in all aspects. My mom, I'm reading a testimony about, so my mom was an opera singer. My mom went to Juilliard School of Music. She was had an amazing, beautiful voice, and she lost her voice. And she lost her voice for many years, and she ends up marrying my dad. She has my brother. She has me, and we're up and living in Big Bear. And she was at a church up in Big Bear one day, and they were singing the song "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And as my mom was trying, all of a sudden her voice returned in singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Right. And my mom, I'm reading my mom's testimony, and she says, from that moment on, I dedicated my life to giving my voice to praising Christ. How do you explain miracles? How do you explain miracles? It's a family that goes to our church here, Dr. Carr and Cheryl. They got married. They tried to have children for 5 years. They end up coming to this church, and within a little while, they both become believers in Jesus. And as I began meeting them, they had gone through every medical deal known to mankind, and her sister was going to be the surrogate. So that's their next plan in having a child. And I had just met them. I had just come back from Israel, and Dr. Carr works with people that had hives. I broke out in hives, and he says, I'm going to treat you for free. And when a doctor says he's going to treat you for free, you say, yeah. Amen, right? So he's like, Pastor Frank, we just love this church, and our God's healing our marriage, and God's doing amazing work. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so great. And he took me, he did all these tests on me, and I said, I want to take you and your wife out to dinner. And all of a sudden they start telling me their story, that they just can't have a baby, and this is their resort now. They're just getting ready to, her sister's going to carry their baby. And we went out that night, and I just felt God say, pray for them. And I laid hands on them and prayed over them. And I asked that God would, I still remember this. I asked that God would give them the desires of their heart. And that he would provide them with a baby, either naturally, you know, or through science, or supernaturally. God, would you just do that? And 4 days later, they were pregnant with twins. How do you explain this? How do you explain the supernatural that surrounds Jesus and his followers? Welcome to the sermon this morning. See, people, our faith is, it's an intelligent faith. Our faith is an intelligent faith. I would argue it's the most intelligent faith on the planet. Our faith is historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, geographically accurate. It's prophetically off the charts. And our faith, there's signs and wonders and miracles and healings. Millions of lives, billions of lives changed over the last 2 millennia. It's the most provable faith on the planet. That's my argument. Our faith is an intelligent faith. But our faith, on the flip side of the coin, is a supernatural faith. Right? Stained glass window. He's not here. He's arisen. Our Jesus is arisen from the dead. The cross, the supernatural. The virgin birth, you can't remove the supernatural from our faith. Our faith is an intelligent, rational, provable faith. Our faith is a supernatural faith. It's both. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It's just the way it is. You can't get around it. Even the non-biblical, even the Jewish writings that are not believers in Jesus recognize the miracles of Jesus. Josephus says that he did wondrous works. The Jewish Talmud calls him a sorcerer and a deceiver. Even the non-biblical records, as they speak of Jesus 2,000 years ago, they say, yes, he did miracles, and they give reasons to why he did. You can't get past Jesus and his miracles. You can't get Jesus being the prophesied one. Isaiah 53, I can't get past it. Our faith is an intelligent faith. Our faith is a supernatural faith. You just can't get around it. But what is the purpose of the supernatural? Have you ever thought about this? What is the purpose of the supernatural? Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus goes down to Capernaum. Well, he does his first miracle in Cana at the age of 30. After he has been baptized at the Jordan River, he returns in the power of the Spirit, and he begins doing miraculous signs and wonders. He goes down into Cana, he goes down into Capernaum, he begins fulfilling and doing many prophecies. And when you read early in Jesus' ministry, many prophecies being fulfilled, like Isaiah 9, he does miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. And every time a leopard is healed, he says, go show yourself to the priests in Jerusalem. Every time Jesus heals a leper, go show yourself to the priests in Jerusalem. Why? Because the priests in Jerusalem, according to Moses, if someone was to be cleansed of leprosy, they had to show themselves to the priests in Jerusalem. And all these priests in Jerusalem are getting all these lepers coming that are healed. And they're like, and then they're hearing that Jairus' daughter, a synagogue official, has been raised from the dead by this guy named Jesus. They're hearing, the people in Jerusalem are hearing what's going on in Galilee. And then a royal official's son's healed by this guy. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in Jerusalem. And he goes down to this place called Bethesda. It's this colonnade pool. And it was like a modern-day hospital. And all the sick and the lame were there. And Jesus walks up, finds a guy, the guy that's been there lame the longest, his legs. Jesus asks the dude, do you want to be healed? And notice the guy doesn't even say yes. And Jesus heals him. The guy goes, shows him, he's walking around with his mat on the Sabbath, which is not good, because he's doing work according to the Jewish interpretations of the day. They get mad at him, and he says, well, this guy just healed me, and he told me to take my mat up. He ends up pointing out Jesus. They get mad at Jesus because he did this on the Sabbath, and he gets into it with them. And the religious leaders are like, you're here. I'm here. You just healed someone here. Yep. One of Jesus' first recorded miracles in Jerusalem is in John 5. I'm no longer in Galilee, I'm in Jerusalem. Hi. And they get into it. And when Jesus says, I'm doing what my Father, and they're like, we're mad at you because you've done this on the Sabbath, and we're mad at you because you claim to be the Son of God. Has anyone read Psalm 2? The Messiah is called, the Anointed One is called the Son of God. These guys are out to lunch, and Jesus gets into it with them. And then later on, he says this, I testify in John 5, 31 through 36, we read this, right? I testify about myself. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. But there's another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. And you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. Because if you just look at Isaiah 40, John the Baptist says, I'm the one who prepares the way of the Lord. Anyone read Isaiah 40? That's so, I mean, obviously for us, as New Testament saints, we can look back and go, this is as clear as day. I know these guys are trying to catch up, but Jesus says, I mentioned this, that you might be saved. Go read Isaiah 40. John was the lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light, but I have testimony weightier than that of John. Jesus, what's your testimony? So, who are you? John gives testimony. What else is giving testimony to Jesus? His miracles. I have testimony weightier than that of John for the works that the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I'm doing testify that the Father has sent me. The witness of John, the prophecy, and the witness of the supernatural, witness to what? Jesus. Say the name. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Witness to Jesus. The purpose of miracles is belief. I'm here. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, and I want you to, and take these to your growth group this week. If you're not in one, get in one, man. Come Friday night and do. Take notes with me. Note number one. Ready? Here it is. Miracles are always for the ultimate purpose of belief in Jesus. Why the supernatural? Why? Why the supernatural? They're always for the ultimate purpose of belief in Jesus. Later on in John 10, Jesus is in Jerusalem and he's done more miracles. And he says this in John 10, 37 and 38, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe in the works. If you're struggling with who I am, look what I am doing. That you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I is in the Father. Believe. Why did that happen in India with Sunny? Why did God in His sovereignty choose to raise a baby from the death? Belief. Ultimately, it's somewhere in there, it's belief in Christ. Why did God heal that man that was blind in Haiti? Why did God have my mom have her voice come back. Why did God bless the cars? This is the mystery. But ultimately, it's all for belief in Christ. Theologically, it's to believe in Jesus. He's here. Do believe in the works that I'm doing. It's always for some higher purpose. It's higher than ours. But it's always for belief in Christ and for the mission of Christ. Like last Sunday, Mission Sunday. For 2,000 years, missions has been happening in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's so good. Sonny David gave a great sermon last Sunday. If you didn't hear it, go on our website and listen to it. Last Sunday, Sonny shared that in Acts 1, Jesus went up. In Acts 2, the Spirit came down. And in Acts 3, the disciples went out in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Our helper. And in Acts 3 is the first recorded miracle of Peter healing. And guess what city was his healing in? Jerusalem. And you know what Peter did? He healed a lame man, just like Jesus. Peter. Jesus, that was his first big recorded miracle. Peter in Acts 3. Him and John are going up to the temple to pray, and they see a lame person. And they just were so in tune with the Spirit. They say in the name of Jesus, get up, the guy's healed. He starts dancing in the temple. And all of a sudden, the religious leaders grab Peter, Peter and John, and they're like, what happened? Not a deja vu? Didn't this just happen 3 years ago? And now the disciples of Jesus are now doing this? And they warned him, you better not say anything on the name of this Jesus. And they threw him in jail. You know what? This is what it's beautiful. See, Jesus isn't going away. Just because you hung him on the cross and he went into the grave and he's out of the grave, he's ascended into heaven, he's gone. But he's not going away. Jesus isn't going away. Miracles. And Acts 4, 29 through 30, I love this. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God boldly. The miracles of Jesus, the miracles of the apostles, the miracles of the early church, back then and today. How are we to biblically understand healings, signs, wonders, and apply them to our belief system and to our lives? There's the question. Note number two. Write this down. Miracles are always done by the sovereign will of God. Not yours and not mine. So important to know this. It's interesting, and when you read the Gospel of John, in John 2, Jesus' mom, Mary, says they don't have any wine. It's run dry. She basically asks her son, would you please do a first miracle, turning water into wine. Later on, when you read John's Gospel, there's a royal official. He says, my son is dead. You know, come, Jesus, they ask, and Jesus heals. But in John 5, the guy didn't even ask. Would you like to get healed? He gave excuses. Jesus heals him anyway. Do you know why? Because God the Father wanted to. And God the Father didn't even ask for his permission. When you read John 5 at the pools of Bethesda, it was like an ancient hospital, right? When Jesus encountered the sick man that day, there were many other sick people lying around. Why didn't Jesus heal all the other sick people, but only one person who was sickest the longest? Why didn't Jesus heal them all? Does anyone have an answer to that? Jesus tells us in John 5:19, as he's talking now with the religious leaders. Jesus gave them this answer in John 5:19. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus had emptied himself, not of his deity, but of his power, the kenosis. He became a child. When he went to the Jordan River, the Spirit of God came upon him, and now in the power of the Holy Spirit, through God the Father's will, Jesus does everything he does in the power of the Holy Spirit through the will of his Father. Jesus gave them this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. See, healing is the sovereign prerogative of God the Father, who sometimes dispenses his power to heal and at other times withholds it. Jesus healed one person that day because the Father was only going to heal one person that day. Jesus was completely obedient to the sovereign will of God the Father for his entire ministry. Sovereign means God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, whenever he wants, without asking you first. The Creator put the stars all in the sky and has named them all. Isaiah 40. He's God. And you are? You're not. He's the Creator and you are the created, made in His image. Very special, very unique. You are very special in the eyes of the Almighty. But He's God. He's sovereign. The potter doesn't tell the maker how to make me. He's the maker, we're the clay, he's God, he's sovereign, people. Please tell me this makes sense. Why healing? What's the purpose of healing? Note number 3, write this down. God heals to glorify himself and his Son. Why does God do this? To glorify himself and his Son, Jesus. In Jesus' ministry, there's so many examples. Early in Jesus' ministry, a lame person is hoisted through a roof. Remember this one? And please heal this man. And his friends have the, please heal my friend. And they cut a hole in the roof. And this is what Jesus says. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, John 5:24 through 26, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up your mat. Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. And immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on. And notice, the dude went home glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment, and they all began glorifying God. They were all filled with fear, saying, we've seen something amazing today, the supernatural. What is the purpose of the supernatural? To glorify God. Matthew 15:30-31. And large crowds came to him, bringing with him those who were lame and crippled and blind and mute and many others. And they laid him down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, the blind seeing. Notice what they did. They glorified the God of Israel. Jesus goes up at the end of his ministry. Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. And in John 11:4 it says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Lazarus died with sovereign purpose. I'm going to raise him from the dead. See, check this out. Jesus actually expects people who receive the healing power of God to glorify him. After healing 10 lepers and seeing only one return to thank him, Jesus said in Luke 17:17-18, then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God for this? Why, Frank, does God do miracles? Well, it's always for belief. It's always in his sovereign will. It's for God's glory. Whenever it happens, it's to bring glory to Christ. Man, during my last sabbatical, or second sabbatical I'd taken, I remember just studying, trying to get my mind around why God does what He does. And I find, and as I was studying the Gospels, I found every time Jesus healed in His ministry, it was always wrapped within Jesus' compassion and mercy for people. Always with compassion and mercy for people. Take note number 4. Write this down. Jesus' healing ministry is motivated by His compassion and mercy. In Matthew 14, 13 and 14, it's just a great example. Now when He had heard about John, that's when John has died, He withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by Himself. And when the people heard this, they followed Him on foot from the cities. And He went out ashore and saw the great crowd. And check it out. He felt compassion for them. And He began healing them. Compassion. Read the Gospels. Every time Jesus would do a supernatural work, it was always in His compassion and mercy. Jesus, it says in Mark 1, 41 and 42, He was motivated to heal lepers by His compassion. The demonized youth in Mark 9:22, the blind in Matthew 20:34, raising the dead in Luke 7:11, always says He had compassion on them. Jesus heals the blind, the demonized, the lepers. In response to their cries of mercy, they always cry out, mercy. It's always wrapped around the compassion and the mercy of God. Always driven for the glory of God, by the sovereignty of God. Always for belief in Christ. This is the theology of the supernatural. What's the purpose? Here's another one. Take note. Note number 5. We read that in the early church, God healed to bring encouragement to the church. When God heals, it brings encouragement to His church. Write that down. God is here. I've learned this. God is here. Why does He do this? He's here. In 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we read that the gifts of the Spirit is to edify the church. Edify the church. The ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives to edify the church. When God does a miraculous, it brings edification. That God is here. I like this. Here's a great verse. Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Have you rejoiced in the Lord today? Mm-hmm. Rejoice in the Lord always. You can always find a reason, can't you? Again, I will say rejoice. Do it. Man, he's laying it in, right? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. He's here. The Lord is near. He's here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, right? God encourages the church when He heals. He does miracles. The Lord is near. See, people, He's here with us today. I'm trying to hit all the small groups. I was at the Cars group on Tuesday. Their twins are now 7. Every time I see them, God encourages me. The Lord is near. Whatever the purpose, it's for the edification of the church. Whatever God did in India or in Haiti. A few years ago, do you guys remember Mike and Laura Vincelles that were here? Mike was in my youth group. I've known Mike a long time. Mike married a great sweetheart named Laura, and their first child, David, was born, and he was deaf. Remember, anyone remember this, Woodbridge? Mike was a mess. We went and anointed him with oil and prayed over him, and his son hears now. And he came up, he says, Pastor Frank, I'm giving testimony. He came up with Laura and said, God has done a healing in our church. Why did God do that, people? All these reasons, one of them is to encourage the church. The Lord is here. See, people, God was moving 2,000 years ago through Jesus, through His apostles, and in His church. And that's why James wrote 2,000 years ago in his church, the half-brother of Jesus, when James wrote the first book of the New Testament, he says this. James 5. 13 and 14. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Why oil? Back in Jesus' day, oil was seen as medicinal. We know that the Good Samaritan anointed the man with oil. Very interesting. When you read when Jesus sent out his first disciples in Mark chapter 6, he says, now you guys go out and do what I've been doing, their first missions trip. It says he didn't tell them and go anoint people in oil with oil for healing, but they just did it anyway. Go read Mark 6. It's funny, I'm reading that going, he didn't tell them to do that. Why'd they do that? Well, God healed people through them. Oil. Why oil? I don't know. But you know, when you're ever in doubt, you might as well do what the book says. Not bad advice. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Oil, it was medicinal in the day. We know that when King David was anointed with oil, it has something to do with anointing of oil with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed before his death. There's anointing with oil. Very interesting. Is anyone among you suffering? John 5:13-16. Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Anyone who is sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore that one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So it's sins. It's not just physical healing. We're talking about spiritual healing, right? Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man or a person can accomplish much. It's interesting. That's a great text. A lot of churches, people look at that and go, what? If you read the text alone, you could understand that God will heal every time. But we know that's not true. No apostle or church leader back then or now can heal a person at will. Let me say this again. No apostle or church leader back then or today can heal a person because they feel like it. The apostle Paul in Acts 20 raised a person from the dead, but Paul couldn't heal Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:25-27, and he had to leave Trophimus sick at Miletus in 2 Timothy 4:20. Paul, why didn't you heal them? You healed the dude, rose the guy from the dead. See, Paul didn't do the healing. Do you understand? God does, and God's sovereign. Do you know, Paul says, I have an ailment, and I've prayed 3 times for God to take it away. Do you think Paul was anointing himself and praying? And God says, I'm not going to heal you of this. My grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God heals by His sovereign will, and God does. Many times God doesn't heal because of His sovereign will. Many times God says, no, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. Does this make sense? When I anoint people with oil, just this last week I went to a hospital. A person in our church is seriously sick. That if God doesn't heal this person, they're going to die. So I get to go to hospitals a lot. Every time I walk into a hospital and I take my oil, I always put oil on I just put a cross on their forehead. Doesn't say in the Bible that I anoint them with the power of the cross. The power of the cross is given unto those who believe. And I begin to pray for this person. I tell this person by anointing them with oil that God is sovereign over what is happening in their body. God is sovereign over this sickness, this cancer, or whatever it is. And every time I pray, I always talk about God's compassion and mercy. It's in the Bible. I always ask God, I never proclaim and declare that this person's healed. I don't do that. There are many people that do, and they scare me. I declare God healed. I proclaim healing. Really? Who are you? I request, because God is the one that does miracles. The reason why Jesus didn't heal everybody around the pools, because the God the Father was only going to heal one. God is sovereign. He knows what He's doing. He's smarter than you. God's going to do what God's going to do. Every time I anoint with oil, I know that God can heal. I know that He's the power. He can do anything He wants to. Whenever I anoint people with oil, I always do the cross. The power of the cross is given unto those who believe. I pray over them and declare God sovereign over this person. I pray and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me in prayer. Just like praying with the cars. Or any time. And whenever I pray, I always invoke the compassion of God. The mercy of God. And I ask God, we ask today. Maybe sometimes people receive not because they ask not. Would Jesus have turned water into wine if His mom didn't say, we have a problem? Many times people came and asked, and Jesus did. Maybe there's times where He isn't doing because we didn't ask. Wouldn't that be pathetic? To get to heaven, and God said, well, if you had asked me. Isn't that sad? But it's always for God's sovereign will and not mine. I don't proclaim or declare. I always request. God, I ask, we ask today, would you heal this person in the name of Jesus? Anoint with oil. I read it in the scriptures. I'm supposed to do it. Why am I here? It's my job description. Right? People, God in His sovereignty calls for people to come to the leaders in the church with their requests for healing, physically and spiritually. Write that down. Note number 6. God calls for His people in the church to seek out the leaders with their requests for healing. God's healing is always associated with His servants, so all will know that it is He who's done it. And the church is edified. Christ is glorified. It will clearly not always be God's will to heal, but it's always proper to call for the leaders of the church to anoint with oil and pray for healing. And then we can leave the results with God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Pastor Graham, we were in sermon prep this week. He's telling a story. This person came in. This person was dying in the hospital and praying, and the statement was said, in a little while, God's going to bring complete healing on this person. And everyone knew what was said. Because in a little while, the person died. And in death, they got complete healing. Amen. Complete healing. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sadness. Graduation day, right? Complete healing. Ultimately, my brother and sister, we're all going to be one day completely healed. But if God in His sovereignty chooses to do something on this side of eternity, then blessed be His name, right? And God does this. People, our faith is an intelligent faith. It's a supernatural faith. People, we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, our helper. And here's your last note. Jesus says, wait into Jerusalem, and I'm going to send you a helper who will be with you. A helper. Another, by the way, another deep. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, welcome to the mystery of the oneness of the triunity of the Godhead, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All miracles done in the Bible and around the world today are through the power of the helper. FYI. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and His miracle ministry began. The disciples waited in Jerusalem, and the helper came, and all of a sudden, they were doing stuff that Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. God the Father is here. Christ, the Spirit of Christ, Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's here. Does God still heal today? Through the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? See, before COVID, we as a church practiced the biblical mandate of James 5:14-16 at the end of the message. Why? Two reasons. One, I find that when King David plays the harp, the evil spirits would leave Saul. We read in the scriptures that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Why not, while there's worship happening, we invite people up and have the leaders of the church here, and it gives an opportunity for the church to go, oh my gosh, someone needs prayer today. Wonder why they're coming up for prayer today. Oh my goodness, Lord, I pray for whatever that person is. As the body of Christ, we can enter into the prayers of people in the church. So for us at Woodbridge, we would always pray for people after the message. And we'd sing some songs of praise. And people would come forward their request. It makes sense to us. It's just who we are. It's our DNA as this great little church at 5000 Parkway. And that's what we're going to do right now. As the worship team is going to be coming up, I'm going to be asking for the leaders of the church to come and stand with me here. And today I want to invite you. Maybe you're here today and you have a physical need or a spiritual need and you need prayer. See, maybe God has others he wants to show himself to. Prayers to be answered. Maybe God has some more miracles to be doing in this church to glorify himself and edify the body. I don't know. I don't know. This is called trying to sail. Jesus says the Holy Spirit blows where he wishes. I can't create wind, but all I can do is put up the sail and try to catch wind when God sends it. Does this make sense? As a surfer, I cannot create surf. All I get to do is know where the wave breaks. If I can put myself, I can catch a wave. Does this make sense? God is here. We receive not because we ask not. We're going to sing a really great song on God's sovereignty. This is a great theological song. When you listen to this song, it starts in Genesis and goes through the book of Revelation. The Creator. I'm going to ask my wife Cindy to come and stand with me, Mike and Debbie to come up here. Sonny is going to come up. He's going to be praying with us. Dr. Ball is coming, right? Pastor Graham's going to be in the back, up in the balcony. We've got the Chows, and I believe Pastor Vince is going to be up in the balcony. If you're up in the balcony and you need prayer, that's great. Did I miss anybody? Any leadership team I miss? How we doing? That's cool. Ah, the Chows are over here. You guys, there they are. There they are. So here's two things. Can we just close this service? I want you to walk out going, you're right. Our faith's an intelligent faith. Yep. Our faith's a supernatural faith. Do you know God still raises the dead and heals the lame and the sick? God still answers prayers and sometimes even does the miraculous. And if God's going to do that today, then praise the Lord. The Bible does say come to the leaders of the church and seek them out. So you don't need to call me and come to my office on Tuesday. You can come here. Now, come to the leaders of the church, leadership team, pastoral staff. Let us pray for you. Let's sing.